This is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Hordor, joined by the Triple OG, Whittemore Mason. OG, it has been a huge week.
Crazy,
in the NRL. Signing news.
Far out. I just didn't expect that one. I didn't expect it.
Yeah. So,
the biggest one.
So we got James Fisher-Harris to kick us off, Joey Manu, Zach Lomax, and Ethan Strange, with a little sprinkle of James Schiller this morning as well. So
surprised
we get
with
to
the
all
Schiller
of them.
One. Very surprised with Schiller.
This is what we'll do, Mace, because we're running a little bit later this morning. So I'm going to leave the YouTube questions. If we're traveling all right, we might come and hit them after the
get
team list if we've got some time. As always, we want to thank everyone who has subscribed. They're absolutely pumping at the moment, mate. That 25K is within range. 23.1, basically going up about 400 per week. So thank you to all the new subscribers on YouTube, on Instagram, followers, on Apple and Spotify. So leave us a comment. This one, I got a little comment straight off the bat though, mate.
Yep.
Off the back of the support we got from, was it Texas on last episode?
Texas, yeah.
We got some love from Arkansas, USA.
Arkansas.
From Noob KX. Love from Arkansas, USA. Pigskin in the winter, footy in the summer. How good is that? I love that. And the draft coming up in a couple of weeks, which I'm pumped about. So I love me a little bit of pigskin as well, if you've been following the show for a minute. Got a few YouTube replies, which we'll get to straight away, Mace.
Yep.
Jack Campbell wrote, how do you reckon Cam McInnes would go in Origin? Then he must have watched another 15 minutes down the road and said, never mind.
Oh, no.
Because we answered it, obviously. You know,
okay.
Remember when we talked about you threw out Cam McInnes as an option?
Yeah.
And then we also said that he'd be a Queensland player picked in.
He would have had 15 origins by now.
The other one was a number of replies on the SJ chat. So Reece Marshall wrote, I'll take SJ over SJ. So we haven't solved anything there.
Nice.
The next one is from Shire Smokers Barbecue. He's a big supporter. He's an L1 from day one. He said, fellas, SJ played 6 at the Sharks for outside of Chad Townsend. And then he also played, and then we had a number of people say this, so he played 6 when Chad Townsend was also at the Warriors, and he played 6 outside of Jerome Hughes potentially or someone for the – so
– just put him at 6.
Put him at 6.
Unless you go put him or Gene Namu.
Gene Namu, or this is a great shout, OG Tom Lilloy. Tommy Lilloy.
No, I look at him as a 9.
Okay.
Yeah, 9.
And he's a hybrid.
9 and 7.
14.
Yeah.
Tommy Lilloy's a 14.
He'll be in that all-time team, but yeah, I'd put SJ at 6.
All right, mate, the biggest news of the week. This is probably the biggest signing week that I can remember since we've been doing the podcast anyway. So let's kick it off with the biggest one that happened only yesterday and it caught everyone by surprise. Penrith Panthers enforcer James Fisher-Harris has been granted a release from his remaining 2 years of his deal to join the New Zealand Warriors in a bombshell. Fisher-Harris and New Zealand International will link up for the Warriors for a 4-year deal.
Good on
Mace, initial thoughts for – let's start with the Warriors. Where do you see the Warriors now? Because a lot of now, I guess – the feedback or chat that I've seen, whether it be radio, TV, and even sometimes in the comments, this is an upgrade for the Warriors. Thoughts?
It's hard. Because
I think that's disrespectful.
I think Fanua Blake in attack offers more than Fish, but what Fish brings off the field and his defense and presence alone puts him up.
Okay.
Than Fanua Blake.
Yep.
Like Fish been doing this for a minute.
Yeah.
About six, seven years, I reckon he's been on top. He's been one of the premier props in the game. Fanua Blake is obviously with the ball, he's the most dangerous prop in the game. I'd put him like him and Payne Haas, right? With the ball. There's just a few little things when you're nitpicking at his game, me being an ex-middle and doing a lot of video on him. It's defensively that he misses a few assignments. He's just gotten way better at it because of Webster and his system at Penrith.
Yep.
It's made him a way better defender. I think you have a look at stuff when he was coming through the Manly system, first couple of years at the Warriors.
Yep.
They didn't prioritise defence that much.
Correct.
And now they do. Fish is about that shit. He's been doing it for years. It's 50% of the game.
It's probably his bread and butter.
His bread and butter, his line speed, his little things, his kick chase. He's on every single thing. He doesn't miss any assignments. He's just not as good with Fanua Blake with the ball. But he'll still bang the door down and he knows how to set standards and he knows what level to get to. So it's an upgrade in my books.
Okay.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah, I see it. Because I'm with you.
If it's a little bit, it's 1%.
I think it's. You're right. Like you're only saying it by a little bit.
Nitpicking, oh, mate. It's even. It's fucking even.
It's been pretty disrespectful from a lot of people saying that it's a clear upgrade for me.
No way. Fanua Blake's a top two prop in the game now.
So for me, I think it's about right because my preference would be if you lined them up for as successful as they've been, I'm an Adam Fanua Blake guy over pretty much everyone but Payne Haas.
Yeah.
Even potentially Tino, Joseph Tarpany, which I love.
You just got to think defensively Moses as well. Liotta. Don't just think with the ball.
So here's what I might do. So I'm going to go through a bit of a system, right? And I'm going to go through some positions and I'm going to – you know, just say, for instance, if we were to go through the fullbacks for an example, I might go through and I'd like, what do you want to prioritize? And then maybe you give it a point system and then that way we can find out, you know, do you want your fullback to be fit as fuck? Give it a 3-2-1. So if it's Dylan Edwards, it's a 3. Three, yeah. If it's James Tedesco, it's a 3. For Latrell, it might be a 1 because his fitness is the one thing that lets him down. For try-scoring ability or executing plays within the 20, Latrell's a 3, Scott Drinkwater's a 3, Caelan Ponga's a 3, Reece Walsh is a 3. You know, there might be a system like that. I want to go through and do it position by position. Maybe it's something I do in the offseason because I always struggle.
Let's just go through a front row now then.
Okay.
What do you prioritize in a front row?
All right. Yep, fitness level.
Fitness levels?
Yep.
They're both pretty much on par.
Yep.
Because I think they can get through about 60, 70 minutes if needed.
I'd go Fisher-Harris 3. I'd go Adam Fanua Blake 2. I know he's really good in attack, but like you said, when he's on the front foot and the Warriors are controlling the ball, when they've shown lapses or inconsistencies, like you very rarely see it from the Warriors anymore, defensively, that's where you can build some momentum through and his movements aren't as great as others.
Yep.
Then what else? Yeah, physicality. Let's have a good think about it.
I think Fish is more physical because he wants that. He initiates contact and he wants to go out that other front row. He's that old school sort of cloth. You know, Fanua Blake just plays, right? He's just a natural big footballer. Do you know what I'm saying? But he's not intimidating at all compared to Fish.
He'd be intimidating
because Fish could hit you. Like, yes. You intimidate not with your runs.
Yeah,
it's without the ball. Like his line speed, he wants to actually hurt you.
It's a different form of
skill set for Fanua Blake.
Yeah, different form of intimidation though, because like imagine being a middle or an edge. Like you know, so for instance, they come up against the Dragons this week. The halves, not knowing whether he's going to be able to at the back on these block plays, whether he's going to be able to tip on, like that stress that he puts on you defensively, like what Fanua Blake is going to do at the last minute, that's a form of...
I'm just saying there's no fear factor there. Just say if you're another prop, if you're Payne Haas, if you're Fish, you're playing against Fanua Blake, he's just going to keep... He's got mad footwork. He doesn't really go at your chest, you know what I mean? So he'll always beat you with skill.
Okay.
So he's not going to... Like the Fish will just go at you all day. It's like a... Marco Mealy 2.0 with a bit more skill set.
Yeah, okay.
Right? He wants that contact, a little bit of footwork, but he don't give a fuck about anything. He just wants to go at you, right? So that's the difference where Fanua Blake will just beat you with football. And he doesn't go out there to try and intimidate. That's not his job. His job is just to make meters through the middle, create second phase, beat you with football because he's smart. He's not that sort of bloke who's going to go out there like a Shane Webke and just like, belt, you know, just run straight. He's like, fuck, dude, I've got the latest footwork in the game. No one can hit me. Like, why wouldn't I use that skill set?
Correct.
And so, like, he plays football. He's a smart footballer.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and depends on what you're looking for too or like, who's – like, so they're exactly the same age. Adam Fanua Blake is 100 days older. There's probably more longevity in the way that Adam Fanua Blake plays than James Fisher-Harris if you've been
– When's the last time you've seen anyone put a shot on Fanua Blake? Never.
I can't.
No.
Yeah, I can't.
So you can't because he'll run at the biggest dude and he'll just smoke you with a little bit of footwork. It's so, what he does with that footwork, it's very, very underrated because he's gone from shoulders. So just say if I'm running straight at you, I could just absolutely fog you with my right shoulder, right? Yeah. A little bit of late footwork goes from a shoulder to an arms tackle. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he gets meters after contact? Because they're all arms tackles and he gets to drive through. Off. It's the drive through. And you think you're going to set up with all your, like if you're a mad hitter, good luck because he's got both feet.
Mm.
It's fucking unfair. You watch how many times he finishes on his front. You watch how many times he does not get hit. It doesn't matter if it's his first hit up or anything like that. He doesn't get hit. And he's 125 kilo.
They're going to be a different style of offense, aren't they?
Yeah.
Completely with two. So, and he's first big. Of all, the one part I absolutely love about it, and I just, you know, the Warriors have now been done on with two that really stand out. The two main ones are Adam leaving and Reece Walsh leaving for family reasons and compassionate grounds. And I feel like the Warriors were hard done. It's not the players' fault, but they
– COVID and everything, mate, we've already said it before, they kept this whole game running. Then they lost two of their best players.
They've lost. So I really am stoked for the Warriors to get this going back the other way. Shout out to Penrith as well. Yeah, RTS is obviously a big signing. But shout out to Penrith for allowing it. I think the biggest winner out of all of this is the rest of the competition.
Yeah.
So, I don't necessarily think – the New Zealand Warriors are so much better. I think they're probably the same team and going to be just as powerful this year as they are going to be next year. But it weakens the best team in the competition. So every other team will be looking at this deal going, I like this deal.
Yeah. And don't forget where James Fisher-Harris is from too.
Yeah.
He fucking loves New Zealand.
Of course.
And him playing for the Warriors and all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? He's New Zealand captain.
Golden boot winner.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's going to mean – putting that jersey on is going to mean something a little bit more, not more than that Penrith jersey, or you know, but it's not like he's going to the Roosters or the Cowboys or some team where it's like, yeah, I really feel that sort of, you know, he'll feel it when he's there.
Oh, yeah.
He'll feel it. I think his game will go to another level. He's already the most intense fucking person out there.
Do you think he can go any fucking more?
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We're about to see. Where does it leave Penrith? Thoughts on Moses Leota in particular.
Well, I reckon Moses nearly pipped him in the last 12 months.
Moses was little bro for a long time.
Yeah, now he's
step bros.
Yeah, now yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're nearly on equal terms. I think, you know, that iron sharpens iron. They just used to compete against each other and just try and bash teams, man. It's the best, 1-2 punch in the game. I'm not sure who's going to replace him. Pretty sure they got someone.
Well, this will be the first time
Smith can hold the reins for a little bit.
I think Lindsay Smith is a starter. I love Liam Henry coming off the bench.
That kid.
But this is the first time in probably 4 years Penrith have had some money to go after a player. So they're losing Jerome Luai. They're losing James Fisher-Harris now. Taruva is yet to be re-signed, but imagine it opens up some cap to keep him if they wanted to or whatever they deem his value is. But this will be the first time since 2020. Now, NRL Online put this up straight after the signing. Have a look at this, mate. This is the Penrith Panthers team since the 2020 grand final that have moved on. So you've got
– the one they got beating?
Yes. This is the squad that got beaten the 2020 grand final that have been at the club from that point or after. Stephen Crichton at fullback, Brent Naden and Charlie Staines on the wing, Matt Burton and Paul Momorowski in the centres, Jerome Luai at 6, Jack Cogger at 7, Spencer Lenu and James Fisher-Harris in the front row, Api Korosel at hooker, Viliami Kikau and Kurt Capewell in the back row. They had Jamin Salmon. I tossed up Jermaine Hopgood over Jamin Salmon and put him into the 13, moved Jamin Salmon back to 14, pushed Sean O'Sullivan to 18th man, and even on the bench, Zach Hoskins, Tevita Pangai Jr. and Jack Hetherington since 2020. That team is a top four team.
Yeah, easy.
That's a top four team.
And he's just sprinkled all through the NRL.
And that's their – the departures.
Is Birdo in there?
Birdo's center.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Birdo will be left center, Momorowski right center, Jerome Luai, Jack Cogger. Shout out to Penrith. Like, unbelievable.
I don't think it's over yet.
It ain't over.
The dynasty ain't over.
But I guarantee if a few of these other teams now looking and going, it could be coming to an end.
It's going to be as dominant.
I'll throw out a name. He's only spent – he hasn't even – well, he's played one game for him this year. Spencer Lenu is only on a 2-year deal with the Roosters. Do you think there's a home – do you think he could potentially be brought back home?
Maybe.
Back to Penrith. We'll see how it goes with the Roosters when he gets back and starts playing, obviously.
You know, everyone goes, go get some more props. Just say if you're speaking about the Bulldogs or any other lower prop. Good luck trying to find them.
Yeah.
They're all taken up. On 3 or 4 year deals.
And that's another part of this. Like, this caught everyone by surprise. Yeah. So how Fish, he must have been stewing on it for a while. I know, you know, when you see him represent the New Zealand Māori and then he skippers the Kiwis last year, it probably wouldn't have been something he had even envisioned until maybe the added news that broke during the off-season.
What do you think that would have been? Over a mil.
I'd say.
Had to be over a mil. Because he's on close to that anyway.
I think he's on about 859 anyway.
Golden Boot winner.
Yeah.
Current Golden Boot winner. Means he's the best player in the world. It's pretty good bargaining power to go in there.
I would happily pay him $1 million.
Easy. He'd be probably going, you know what? Payne Haas, 1.2, 1.3.
I think you'd.
Tino's on that. I want that or more.
I think you'd be on $1 million per year for 4 years.
I think it's more.
Yeah. The Roosters have confirmed Joey Manu will depart the club at the end of 2024 season, joining Japanese club Toyota The Blitz. So
that sucks for our game.
It does, mate. Joey Manu is heading to Japanese rugby. It was reported for a while now. This has been no secret. It was either – we said French, but we heard it was Japanese or French.
You knew just, on Monday, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a player from
someone DM'd Hoz.
I won't throw him under the bus, but yeah, he let me know that the team was announced on Monday afternoon, and they were brought in for a team meeting, and it was announced to the group that they were going to sign Joey. He gets done the next day, so I will say, look, have a look at this. I'll get his. I don't want to. You know, sometimes they can see in the background. I don't think it matters too much, but one sec, where is it? Where is he?
One thing about Joey, what I heard.
Lukey, just cut that little bit in between. All good. So one of the boys reached out to me and said he was going to be signing. They've also got Steve Hansen and Ian Foster as their coaches.
AB's coach.
Yeah, the AB's coach. Jeez. And so they've got Fozzie and Hansen and Nuggies in their team. Aaron Smith as well. So
wow.
Got some cash. I said to him, I wouldn't be surprised if they managed to get Sonny Bill Williams out of retirement with that lineup.
It's weird. I think a lot of people go to Japanese rugby, obviously, for the money and the less of games that you play. But I hear the days are so fucking long.
Really?
Long. And I was hearing rumours that with Joey Manu's knee that it was struggling to get through a lot of the, you know, the week in, week out grind of the NRL, yep. Right? Because it's not about – the game, like when you talk about professionalism, right?
Mm.
It's not just about the game.
Yeah.
It's everything. It's turning up to training. It's the discipline. Never late. Or, you know, being that guy every single day. Video sessions, diet. It's just so many things that go into being a professional athlete.
People sacrifices.
The sacrifices that you need to make, your family, everything like that. Football is always number one. And that's what professionalism is. Your diet, all these little 1%ers, that's what the great players, they don't stop doing, right?
Yep.
The game is the fucking easiest thing you can do. You know what I mean? But like you can't – if your body can't match the rigorous hours that you got to do week in, week out, you know what I mean? Like that's when everything just sort of goes downhill.
Yep.
So I heard from pretty good sources over there that he was struggling to get through weeks over there.
That's understandable.
Week after week, yeah, because he's
Joey brought up a good point.
His knee and like and things like that. It's fucking hard. Like the hardest thing in the NRL is the training.
Mm.
It is fucking intense. You're playing at a game level intensity, like every most sessions, and sometimes you just can't deal with it.
Yeah,
and I'm just saying, as back to my point with the Japanese rugby. Apparently, the hours are ridiculous. Okay. They have a mentality over there: more, more, more. Not less is better. Okay. More is better. So I was sitting there doing fucking backline moves, less scrums for hours.
More is less.
They got more it totally mixed up. They'll do line outs. So I spoke to some forwards. Do line outs until you get it right. People are fatigued and everything. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours because that's their mentality. The Japanese.
Well, they're also they're very disciplined. Aren't
yes,
they,
the very Japanese? Disciplined.
They come from. One of my favorite movies is The Last Samurai because every little detail matters.
Yeah, very detailed.
Yeah.
Right?
So I can understand that, and especially because even though they've – like you look at the results when they beat South Africa, was it about 8 years ago? So from that point on, they've been trying to get a little bit better each year. So they keep bringing all these players over, but you'd imagine that it would be – but also I think the competition only goes –
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
so that's a big plus.
The game will be easy for Joey.
Yep.
It's
The training's still going to be
pretty heard full. That. It's pretty crazy.
And this is a good – I think it was Joey. I was watching a clip on social media about Joey, because my biggest thing was it was always – and we said this on Monday or maybe last week that it's a shame that we probably won't see Joey Manu play fullback full-time. But I think Joey said, like, imagine if he did play fullback and every time he plays, he basically runs 300 metres.
Done what he did against Newcastle.
Done what he's – like, how long can you sustain that for? Like, I guess if you're playing devil's advocate, Dylan Edwards does it week in, week out, but it's a different 300. He's a smaller body. He doesn't like
– He doesn't get the ball like Joey was getting it.
He doesn't – because he's very – what's the word?
Talk about field position before. He's getting about 120 for free before he even gets touched.
But also the way he goes into contact, he's very well at positioning his body.
Yeah.
Like he won't run it's like the Adam Fanua Blake.
He's smart.
James Fisher Harris contact. It's different.
Yeah.
Fish wants to go straight through your chest. Adam wants to jink, little live footwork go through you. Joe Marty wants to go straight through your chest and get a quick play of the ball every time he carries the ball. With a little bit of footwork, he's still got footwork, but Dylan Edwards runs. He sprints back, stops, little jink, then uses momentum, then goes through.
Sees a crease in the defensive line, goes for that. Different footballs.
Yeah, so it would probably have some wear and tear.
Anyway.
I do think Joey Manu will be back for next year.
You think he'll be back in the NRL?
In the NRL, yeah, I think he'll be back.
Straight to French rugby.
Oh, do you think so?
Fuck, it'd be silly to come back. Once you're over there and you've had a taste of that sort of the union world,
you'll
go over there and then they'll see. Just say if he gets called into the All Blacks or something like that.
So many,
not sure.
If so many will. Players come playing back though.
Playing in Japan, won't be like it won't be putting him in the All Black system straight away. You have to carve up down here.
Oh, so you assume that he wants to become an All Black.
That he doesn't want to become an All Black. Otherwise, he would have went and played in the New Zealand competition. That's what they're looking at.
Yeah,
okay. I think he's just done with the week in, week out stuff of league.
Okay.
And then he might go to French rugby.
But what about guys like Dell, Lottie Takiri, Matt Rogers? They all went
totally
and come back.
Totally different, man. Totally different. That was a different time, man. Yeah. They just went over there and just –
because they want to represent Wallabies
and
come back.
Yeah. It was a fucking pleasure to play for, like – it was a privilege to play for the Wallabies back then.
Yeah.
The fucking Matt Rogers and Lottie – Wendell went over. It was huge news. You know, they wanted to play for the Wallabies. They wanted to win a World Cup. Yeah. I didn't see Joey going, I want to win a World Cup. Then they stayed over there for years and back at the end of their career, they come back.
But also the Japanese rugby and French rugby money wouldn't have been totally as different. Good as it was.
I want to know if – he hasn't really come out and said, I want to play for the All Blacks, has he?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I think he mentioned that it was something that he always aspired to do as a kid, but – this is all, but it's like Joey Marnie is a very private guy. He's not this.
We're probably never going to know.
Well, we'll know in a couple of years.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying. That's when we'll find out.
But I'm just saying, like, even now, but you're never going to know, like if he wants to play for the ABs or not. Because if he did, he wouldn't be playing Japanese rugby.
I wouldn't completely rule it out. If I was him and in his position and he's still young enough, go to Japanese rugby. 28? I'll get it up for you. Go to Japanese rugby for a year and a half. So do the 2 years at Japanese rugby. See how you're feeling. If you're what you're saying in the body's only 28 at the end of the year. In about 2 months, he'll be turning 28. So maybe he goes there, sees how the body's feeling, see if it's as rigorous as the NRL is, if he's picked up the game enough. Maybe the All Blacks are the ones that have to come out and say, hey, you're looking pretty good.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Come play for Waikato up the Chiefs Mana, by the way.
Yeah.
Or whatever it may be, Crusaders. And then this is probably an easier transition than what Roger and probably Benji did when they went straight into the
That's
local
what I
cup.
Think as well. I think he's gone the smart route, right?
Yep.
Go play in Japanese rugby, Steve Hansen, everybody's there.
Yeah.
They'll be coached him at the best.
That's a great point.
And then going, am I good enough? He's like, yes, you are good enough. Bring up people in New Zealand, get him back there.
Yeah.
He's going to play in the next World Cup.
Yeah.
Then that could be it. That could be his route in. It's not like, let's go play for the Blues, all that kind of stuff, and then like get thrown in the Wolves. And that's not the right route. The Sonny Bill one, when he went to French rugby and did all this sort of thing, did his time in the lower grades, not going straight to the Super Rugby.
Yep.
Do it this way. See if you're going good, because the Japanese game is pretty quite hard, but you're getting coached by the best. And if he's with Aaron Smith and Steve Hansen, these guys are
Fozzie. He was just
arguably the best players, right? Mm. They're all, you know, best coach, best players. Then they go, you're good enough, kid. Go back.
I think that's the most important factor that you brought up, mate, that I totally forgot about as well. He's going there with two former All Blacks coaches that have been successful, that have won World Cups, and one got them all the way to the final. And he's going to learn from
everything
as much as you can about rugby. He's going to play for the All Blacks.
Yep. That's his route. Yeah. He goes, I won't go over there because I saw how two of us got treated.
Yep.
Benji got treated.
Yep.
They didn't get the way that they played them. I've spoken to some ABs. They're like, they fucked them over. They didn't teach him the right way, the systems and everything like that. They sort of got thrown under the bus because, hey, don't get it twisted. It's still that league versus union mentality.
Yeah.
It is, man.
What do you think more from the admin? I think a lot of players would have loved to have seen the – there would be, don't get me wrong, there would be some angst from some players.
Bro, I spoke to the guys over in New Zealand that are all black players.
Yeah.
And they said it. They said they just didn't – they didn't get treated right.
Okay. All right.
The system and everything like that, it just fucked. It didn't suit them. They got played out of position, all that sort of shit.
And they probably hadn't got the runs on the board, right?
Yes.
Which Joey Mona is about to
do. Yes. I think Joey's going to do it the right way.
Okay. All right. What about the Roosters moving forward, mate? Next year they have Billy Smith as their starting centre, who's been banged up. And I've Googled him because we're going to have to learn his name because I think he's going to be a big part of the team. Mark Nwanga.
Oh, the Fijian kid?
Nwanga Tawasi, I think that's it. He's coming over. Obviously, he's gone the opposite way. He looks like he is a front runner for the centre position because Joseph Swali'i is going to the Waratahs in Australian rugby. Joseph Manu is officially done. We just talked about the big gap that Fisher Harris is leaving at Penrith Panthers.
You know one thing the game never has a struggle with? Finding outside backs. We have a problem with halves and front rowers, but not outside backs.
Yep.
So I'm not really worried about the Roosters and how they're going to deal with the outside back problem. It's fucking easy. Someone else will come up. That's it.
We threw out a couple of names on Monday, didn't we? Selwyn Cobbo and Katoni Staggs really just went up.
Yeah.
Someone's
going to come off and they'll be sitting there going –
I have this feeling, and I agree with you. I don't think he's the type of personality to come to Sydney, but I have a feeling the Roosters, like Selwyn Cobbo is a Roosters guy.
I think Katoni's a better chance.
I agree.
The only reason why is because he's from New South Wales.
I agree.
That's it.
But I have a feeling the Roosters would really like to get Selwyn Cobbo.
I'd love to get Selwyn Cobbo. Yeah.
Robbo would love to get his hands on a guy like
22-year-old kid with the world at his feet.
Yeah, but I agree. I think Tony Staggs is more likely if they were both to become available.
He'd suit the Roosters too.
Yeah, he would.
Right side centre.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Like for a
I could envision it in 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you reckon I went with that name? Mark Nwanga.
Nailed it.
No. Hey. Tawasi.
Nailed it. I didn't know who you're talking about, but fucking nailed it. I was looking at a question. I was like, eh.
Yeah. All right.
He's the Fijian kid that plays on the wing.
He's a hybrid wing, centre, fullback for the Waratahs.
Good rig
he's
on him.
For the Wallabies.
That's some good looking blokes in the back line anyway.
Yeah.
They got Dom Young. He'd be filthy on that photo.
Which one?
When his jersey got ripped. Looked terrible. Start doing some bench press, Dom Young. Fuck's sake, you look awful.
What about who was it?
You know what I reckon he did? He ripped it even further.
Yeah.
It was only just to hear.
Yeah.
He went,
Reed Marnie, how do you guys keep pulling it? Keep pulling it.
No. Further.
Please stop.
Stop it. I love it.
This was the worst keep secret since it was announced that he was becoming available. Parramatta Eels confirm invaluable Zach Lomax addition as a 4-year deal locked in. Zach Lomax will officially move to Parramatta Eels in 2025 with the club confirming a 4-year deal.
Nice.
It was roughly the value around $650,000-$675,000 depending on who you listen to. Good signing for Parramatta.
Great signing. I'm just happy for him. He's happy. He's got what he wanted. He got out of St. George. He's at a great club there with Parramatta. I just want to know what position he's going to play. I think Pennicini's there, dude, on that right side. Maybe Pennicini can play left.
Brad said on 360 on Monday that they'll figure that out in the offseason. Didn't give it. No one was given assurances, so it's going to be.
Well, you're not going to fuck with Pennicini's head, are you?
Well, it could be.
Not now. You're not going to say that right
now.
Yeah,
okay,
you're not going to really go, all right, Pennicini's going to play left, and because he's playing right side now, you want to mess with his head right now, because I think he's been their best back, Pennicini.
He's been their most consistent.
Oh, no,
last
but Gutho
years.
Has been. Gutho has been right now.
But
he's just coming, like, this is his third year in the game?
Maybe fourth.
He's really, he's He's living up to his potential, I think.
Getting
early ball, he's shaking a few people, he's good defensively.
I still think they'd like him to take the next step.
Yeah. He's still got a couple of years. Yeah. I think it's his third year.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he hit the scene a couple of years ago as an 18-year-old kid.
He's defensively really sound. He's got some X factor. He has games where you're just like, ooh, blown away. He could go on to the next level.
So we've got a lot to learn sometimes defensively.
I would think, yeah, their edge defense always struggle. Like they go through periods where they really struggle. A name that was someone messaged me about this, like, where does this leave Blaise Talangi now? He's playing off the bench this week, mate. He's playing in the 17 jersey.
What position is he?
I believe he comes through the grades playing both fullback and six.
Never center.
I imagine he would have played some centers. He looked good on the left center for him. I was surprised that when Brad made the move, not necessarily because it wasn't Dejan Arce, it was just because he looked so good in the centers against Manly. Yeah. So that's only a small sample size. It was one game. But he could be another player like the Roosters go looking for. Like if you've got a battle between Penasini and Zach Lomax for the right and the winner's going to go to the left, like Morgan Harper won't be their long-term answer. So where does it leave Blaise Talangi? Is he happy to be the X-Factor 17 off the bench like he is going to be this week, or do teams come knocking for the young gun?
When you're an outside back like him, you are not happy with being off the bench. You know, like you want to be either pushing for a start position or have some sort of like – direction from the coach, like, what am I? Do you think I'm going to play fucking 14 for the rest of my career, or are you going to try and put me into somewhere? Like, I think he's probably left out.
Yeah,
go somewhere else. What are you going to do? But like I think he's a center, and even if he's 5'8", he's still out there because Dill Brown's a 5'8".
Yeah,
you got Moses. So they're your halves for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yep. Gutho's fullback.
Gutho's fullback.
He ain't going anywhere.
Zach Lomax and Penasini are your centers.
Yep.
The wings, who cares, because he's not a winger.
Could you envision a super sub 14 role like Melbourne did with like Pappy and Nico Hines
for a couple of years?
And
I think they were happy with that in the Melbourne system because you're winning.
Correct. Yeah, that's
so you're not happy at Parramatta being off the bench, playing limited minutes. Depends how much he loves Parramatta.
Yeah, and what if they're winning comps?
Yeah. What if they're not? It's a big chance.
Yeah, there is a big chance.
There's a big chance they're not going to win as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, maybe he's going to be coming off the board in, what, a year or two? Is he off contract this year? You know, maybe he does his apprenticeship off the bench.
He's got an option that he hasn't exercised yet. He's got an option in his favour. Speaking of young guns, mate, this is a big re-signing, and I am so pumped for the Canberra Raiders and Ethan Strange because he's – hopefully secured the bag. Canberra have announced a huge move in the recruitment and retention of Ethan Strange until the end of 2028. Now, it's not reported how much he's got. I'm guessing the floor is 500.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe it goes like 5, 6, 7, 8 potentially. I hope it does anyway for his potential. But I'm just happy for the – I feel like – again, Canberra Raiders, New Zealand Warriors, sometimes the Titans. You know, these teams are the forgotten teams. I love it when teams like this develop players and they stay and more importantly, they secure the bag.
Happy for that. It's a great signing. He's a little Cameron Munster. I said that a couple of weeks ago.
He's got a bit of money about him, mate.
Yeah, the left arm carry, the stepping around. He's super strong for his age. And it's like, fuck it, why is he so strong? Same as money when he come back.
He's got a bit of strawberry blonde in the hair as well.
Yeah, yeah. He's got that.
A little bit of ginger aggro about him.
And he's fucking super. Yeah, he's got all those attributes as money does. So, and that's a big rap because Munster's a fucking man.
You know
what I mean? Imagine if they get someone as good as Munster.
As soon as you said it, I could see it. It was a great comp.
Like he loves attacking the line. You know, him and Timoko, you got some really good outside backs there.
Well, here's a quote from him, mate. Having other guys I've played with who I'm really good mates with, so his roommate Chevy Stewart, which I told you about, I do run with his uncle, they'd be tearing it up down at fucking Canberra at the moment too, by the way. And Mickey Suma. So I haven't heard much of him. He must be another young kid that plays in New South Wales, couple of 20s, the same age. They're all staying a bit longer as well. So they're building something nice down there at Canberra.
Yeah, they look good. I'm happy for like young kids like that because they usually get snapped up.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. I don't think they would have fucked around with Canberra. They went, we've got to pay him this money.
Especially
other clubs would have been fucking hounding him.
Well, his dad coaches the NRLW. with his just brought his sister back to the club at the Roosters. Yeah. So I'd imagine the Roosters, if he did become available, that would burn Sticky. So Sticky would have said,
killed him.
The manager would have come and goes, all right, we want to, what's the negotiation? Ricky would have just gave him a fucking piece of paper. He goes, tell us the figure and we'll get it done. Yeah.
It's good.
Yep.
I like it when they don't fuck around.
They lost a player of big potential. I liked him all the way in the trials. He got his opportunity through Albert Hopewadi missing. James Schiller is leaving the Raiders though with the signings of Ethan Strange and Matty Timocor. He got pushed out. He's going to go to the Knights on a 3-year deal from 2025 and beyond. I like James Schiller. There's a player in James Schiller.
Yeah, 100%.
Again, it's not like
– he's from the Mullins little cloth as well.
Yeah, he is.
From that.
And
I thought he would never leave Canberra.
Yeah. I wonder what his background – let me check his background as well, actually. I want to see –
good signing from Newcastle, but
– yeah, I like it.
He's a big body. He can finish well. He's strong.
It's a player of need, that right –
probably needing – yeah, they need a right side winger.
Far out. Look at this. Uncle Brett, obviously grandfather Bill, the Mullins family, cousin Jack Hetherington, playing in the NRL at the moment. So he is 22 years old. Yeah, and he also gives him the potential to play center. I believe he's a preferred center. That's his main spot.
He can play, man.
So,
because Gags is 32 now.
Gags doesn't have a contract, so it could be a straight swap for not only the wing, but it could be Gags' spot that he could be taking.
I think Gags got a couple more years in him. He's still playing at a high level.
Depends on what. Yeah, it all comes back to value. It
doesn't matter if you saw him Schiller doesn't mean he's taking Gags' spot, right?
Well, depends if they re-sign. Gags, yeah, that's the point. Yeah,
well, he'll be 34.
Let me get Gags.
So Gags is 32 now. No, so
fuck,
Gags,
I'm working hard on the tools.
Gags is 32.
Yeah, Gags. I reckon Gags is a little bit older than that.
Nah, 32.
33, just a year old.
This year, yeah.
So and 105 days. So basically, he'll be 33 throughout this whole season.
Yeah, I'm 10 years older than him.
So
he'll be 34 next year. So. Depends how long Gags wants to play for. He still looks good.
Yep. That fucking in and away shimmy.
Whatever
fucking
the fuck
stiff
he did,
arm.
That was a I just wanted him to score that try because I was mad.
You know what probably helped Gags as well, not playing Origin last year?
Yeah.
Because he looked a bit battered, I'd say, last year and the year before. The year before he looked a bit battered. So
yeah, he's played some Origins.
And fucking played it at
a high
level.
And killed him. Was he out of contention last year? Was he injured?
Nah.
They just didn't pick him?
They didn't pick him. He had a conference. Billy called Pups.
That would have been fucking hard.
And Gogoi, yeah. Those were the two tough conversations that he – those were two players that he said he called at the start, remember?
So is he in contention?
Big Papa might
be
back though.
Yeah, I think Pups back.
Middle's dropping like flies. All right. This is another – this is something that I thought was interesting just based off, me doing the RLPA voting system as well. Andrew Voss brought this up. He was baffled last week and then he doubled down on it. So when in doubt, Hines picks up points. He is the headline for this one. Andrew Voss continues to be baffled by the Daily and Metal voting system following a bizarre spread of votes in the South Sydney Rabbitohs versus Cronulla Sharks match on Saturday. Voss was previously bemused after Dylan Brown picked up 1 point against Canberra Raiders after they got beaten by 33 points the week before. So Cronulla half Nicho Hines received two votes in this game. Remember, it's a 3-2-1, 3-2-1.
Way deserve that.
I agree. So
only on that game because I know what Voss he's talking about.
Yes. Yeah. So in that game, I'll give you some my point system for the RLPA that I do. Can you remember the game well? Do you remember the game South versus Cronulla?
South and Cronulla, yeah.
South and Cronulla just gone.
Yeah.
I gave Ronnie 3 points.
So, he was a king. And then Ramian was way better than him. Then Katoa was way better than him. But I'll give there's you, two just there.
Yeah, so I had
Sullivan was even better than him.
Who? Sullivan?
Braden Trindle.
I had Braden Trindle 1 point and I had Tommy Burgess 2 points. I thought Tommy was awesome for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. It's a tough one as well, right? So I got hammered when we gave the 3-2-1. There was a comment where in the YouTube that, I'll try to stay away from the negativity, but it got a heap of likes. People were angry at me for giving Nicho 2 points. Remember in the Warriors game at the start of the year?
Yeah.
So I gave Nicho 2 points in that game, in my 3-2-1. And it was sort of similar to what Vossi's alluding to here. So I thought Talakai was clear-cut the best player. I gave him 3 points. Remember the Warriors started really well but then died in the ass.
It was round one.
Yeah, it was round one. Yeah. So Wade Egan and Adam Fanua-Blake were carving up through the middle.
Yep.
I gave Adam Fanua-Blake 1 point and I gave Nico two. But I thought, you know, there was no one really that stood out for me outsider in that game because Sharks did so much defense. And I thought, remember Nico come up with a couple of big tackles on Jackson Ford and he spilled the ball.
He did not deserve points. And then he kicked Maybe the deserved one, not two.
But the point is,
who cares? They won.
For me voting on it, I was like,
so what'd you give three?
Three was Sifa Talakai.
Yeah.
He was a
big. I think he deserved two or one.
Yeah. So I was like, my point is, I was sort of like, no one else really stood out. So I was like,
but
I'll give Nico
two. It's a different game, that one.
Yeah, okay.
Totally different. I understand why you gave him two because I thought he made a couple of massive big plays
that
got him over the line.
Yeah, and I thought it's about winning,
and they fucking won.
Kept on kicking back.
Oh, exactly. So I understand that. If you don't understand the game, then you fucking have no idea. But we understand the game. So I looked at that and go, yeah, two or one. I'm not sure if anyone else was better than him in Cronulla. You know, McInnes was all right. Like I thought, you know, like their back five wasn't dominant like they were. Trindle wasn't dominant.
No.
Their forwards weren't. They got dominated.
Yeah.
And I think he was the reason why they come back because of his kicking game, because if he kept leading the kick chase. Anyway, this game here, there's fucking better players than him.
Yeah. So what about Dylan Brown getting a point against Canberra? That's just as bad.
God.
So
– well, who's voting on these two?
They don't let you know.
I reckon Buzz Rothfield's voting. Buzz Rothfield, all over. He loves Cronulla.
I don't even know if Buzz Rothfield is a fucking...
He's a fucking judge too.
Are you sure?
Imagine him watching a fucking game.
Buzz is always copping shit from this.
Imagine him...
Lukey, can you see if Buzz Rothfield is even a voter?
Can you imagine him like looking at a game like fucking... And imagine watching a game with him, what he would see. Him and fucking Dean Ritchie.
That's true. I want to find out who's
voting, and they should be questioned instead of Ossie sitting up there having a crack at the system. Who voted on that game?
He brought up a good point. So he said he would never do it because he has to call the game. He doesn't.
Yeah, he's play by play.
Yeah, he's not able to judge the game. So that's. I hope that there's no one else that does it within the media that calling games because I'm the same. Like, you know, when I've called the games for SCN in the past, we had a chat.
Yeah.
I think it was last year in the Cronulla game, and you're like, oh, that guy wasn't the best player. So even me and you had a disagreement on.
Can you find that out, Lukey? Is there a chance?
He's in there. He's grinding. So let's get into the team list. Yep, go on. Who we got?
The judges.
Yep.
From NRL.com. The judges will be taken from a select pool of former players assigned to the role for the 2023 season.
That's 2023. All right, so see if you can find 2024. Nothing for 2024? Okay, that's the latest article. All right, maybe in the comments people will know because I remember at the start of the year there were names. It wasn't for the specific games, but I think they gave us the latest.
They should be named, but.
Anyway, yeah, a bit of a flaw in the system, and I will say to everyone out there who's critical, it's not as easy as you think.
Yeah, but that game was clear cut. Nico was not the second best player. So it looks like someone's not even watching the fucking game.
Yeah.
And then going, yep, 3-2-1, here you go. Yeah. Watch the fucking games.
Yeah.
Whoever's voting.
Because that was clear cut. He didn't deserve a point in that game.
That just shows me you're not watching the game.
And you know what? It sucks for Nico too because I see comments now when the Daily M leaderboard comes up, people just go, oh, they had the bye and people were writing, why isn't Nico Hines getting points? So now his name's going to become even when he actually does play good in games, people are going to,
discredit him.
It's becoming like, you know what social media is like? As soon as someone gets 100 plus likes on a comment, then it just becomes viral and it just keeps ticking over. We live in a copycat society. A lot of sheep out there.
Oh, I feel sorry.
Okay, mate, let's get to the previewing the round. And Mace, kicking it off, we're going to go Levels Bets Friends Special like we do every week. And you're going to like this one, mate. I've been against your boys a number of times for my Levels Bets Friends. This time I'm on them. I think the Bulldogs get a bit of payback for the way the Knights treated them last year. That was the start of the Knights' run. And really, that's when the Bulldogs completely started to fall off the cliff at the back end of the season. So I'm going to the Bulldogs, 1-12. Matty Burton to score in the first 60 minutes for $14 from the traders with a max bet of $25. I like that bet. I think the Bulldogs are going to be up for it.
I can hope so.
Knights will be in a bit of a dogfight as well. So 1-12 margin, I really like that. Let's get to Thursday night first though. Sydney Roosters are at home to the Melbourne Storm, 7:50 p.m. at Allianz Stadium. So Teddy is back from concussion, which sees Joe Manu shift back to the centres. Joseph Swali'i moves to the wing. Well, he's ready on the wing anyway because Junior Ponga was playing centres. Egan Butcher has taken Satili Tupanua's spot on the bench. And Sam Walker listed in the reserves. He's back from HIA, mate, but not a part of the team. As for the Melbourne Storm, huge inclusion. Tui Kamakamitha has been replaced by Big Nasty. Kamakamitha has been sidelined with a calf injury. Therefore, Joe Chan also joins the bench with Tepai Moroa dropping out. So a couple of big changes there, Mace. Our friends at the Tab have the Sydney Roosters, a slight underdogs, but this is a coin flip. $2 about the Sydney Roosters, $1.80 about the Melbourne Storm. The line is 1.5, so no one is really touching that line.
What's that record that the Storm have against them? Is it 9 games, 10 games that they've won?
No, that was the Panthers.
Is that the Panthers?
Yeah.
So this is nothing?
Nah, okay. I think Penrith and Roosters and Melbourne have been pretty even over the last couple of years, I believe.
Wow, it's going to be hard. Big Nasty being back. Oh, God. Wasn't that impressed with Melbourne last week. I think this is going to be their test. I'm thinking the Roosters will get him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going Melbourne.
I like him.
Yeah.
No, I think they're sort of starting to get their shit together, right? Brandon Smith.
Yeah.
Brandon Smith looks sharp. Keary Watson looked good.
Remember that 20-minute period where they really put on that try? Second half wasn't as What about the Sam Walker? No Sam Walker. What's your read on that?
What have we been saying?
Yeah.
Like, when one of them's out, they win.
Yeah.
They still haven't figured it out.
If they win this game without Sam Walker,
it's fucking going to be hard.
He could be on the side. He could be playing New South Wales Cup again. Like, for
Connor Watson is not a six, right?
No.
But if the way that they're playing is very flat and fast, right? You've got to go off. You've got to go off Brandon Smith and his energy. And if he's coming out, you just got to be pushing up. You can't be waiting for the next play. Like, I feel like when Sam Walker's there and Keary's there, they're sort of waiting on that next play all the time instead of pushing up with him, where should be just flat and fast. That's what Connor Watson does, because he just pushes up. Keary can just control it.
Mm. Yeah, whenever there's two of them, they play sideline to sideline. Whenever it's one of them, they play
more direct. And worst case scenario, Connor Watson gets the ball and just runs.
Yeah. I think he ran for about 100 metres.
Yeah, like he just runs and he backs up well, and he's not your traditional 5'8", but maybe in that system it works.
Mm. We'll see. And then you can maybe see Joe Manu coming and playing a little bit of six and pushing him out. Like, he could get his hands on the ball more if Sam Walker's not there as well. That could
They give the team to Sam Walker, or they give the team to Keary.
Mm.
That's it.
All right,
because I think that's just the way they're playing. Because have a look at that back five, right? They're just going straight. Look what they did against Newcastle. Straight. There's no secret. And they're probably looking at Melbourne as well. Like, who cares? We're going to go straight through your middle. Try and tackle Tupo, Suwali'i. Fuck. They're big boys, mate.
Yeah.
Now, Dom Young's going to be missed, but, like, who cares? They'll still go straight through you.
Daniel Tupo and Swali'i.
Still they'll still come at your chest.
Good battle, like, on the wings. I like
the forward's going to be good. Hargraves and Solomona, they'll go at it. Josh King's Collins, all that kind of stuff. I think the Roosters, they might start a little bit of a run here.
Okay. I'm on the Storm, -1.5, and I like Ali Katoa anytime. $4. They're going to be sending him here, Luke Keary, early and often.
Don't disrespect his defence. He's not too bad.
Okay. First game on Friday night. This will be very interesting after the news and what sort of lift it gives to the Wasp. And they were very successful down there this time last year. The Dragons are at home to the New Zealand Warriors, 6 p.m. at Wynn Stadium. Jack Bird has been sidelined due to that head knock, which is very controversial because he was actually cleared after the game again.
Is he ruled out officially?
He's done, yeah. Yep, they didn't even name him. So they've put Christian Tuipulotu onto the wing, Zach Lomax into the centres after he's been announced as a centre. Well, this will be interesting to watch Zach Lomax now and see what sort of output, because he has been arguably the forminger to start the season. And Farmanu Brown, who just went through a bit of a shit fight over in the Super League with Hull FC, him and Tex Hoy, I believe, are both free agents now. He is straight back into the extended bench for the Dragons. As for the Warriors, Adam Pompey joins the bench in place of Jazz Tavanga. I've written down a name to look out for who I thought looked super impressive and everyone was telling me about at the WAS, Zion Ma'u'u.
Kid?
He's the tearaway.
Back from the suspension?
Back from the suspension. I think he played New South Wales Cup last week. I hope he plays.
Yes, I do.
Why, you're on the Dragons?
I'm going Dragons.
I was going to say.
Oh, I hope he does play, but All right. Not for the team.
The Tab have St. George Illawarra Dragons $2.80 underdogs at home. Warriors $1.44. The line is 6.5. So you like the Dragons head to head, Mace?
Yeah. Okay. I do. I think their forward pack's pretty even. And halves, I mean, like Ben Hunt can kick his way through things. Kyle Flanagan's playing really well. I want to see Zach Lomax just go at it. See how good he is. Suli, I mean, physicality.
Zach Lomax versus Roger. Mace.
Yeah. I don't think St. George's going to get out physical.
Yeah, they've got that dog in them.
They've got
some
that dog in them. And where are they playing? They're playing
at
is
home,
it Jubilee?
No, win. Down in Wollongong.
They're fucking hard to beat down there.
Warriors pumped them last year down there.
Don't care. don't care. I didn't look at that. Anyway, they're traditionally hard to beat
down
there.
Yeah, they are.
So
they are
it's, what is it? 6 o'clock, night game.
A little bit wet.
Yeah, it's just, you know, out of your comfort zone a little bit, Warriors. But yeah, they're not like the old Warriors. I just think St. George can handle them.
Yeah. We disagree now twice. I'm on the Warriors -6.5. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. I like it when we disagree. And I am on Adam Fanua Blake, $4 anytime. I think he has a statement game. He just lets everyone know, like, I'm people been disrespecting my name, saying fucking Fisher Harris is upgrade. I'll show you. I think he's going to go after the middles. And I think I've changed your mind. Looks like I changed your mind there slightly.
Frankie Molo.
Yeah, I love it.
And he's going to be going at Fanua Blake.
Yeah, Mudders Laurie, Hummerdelli.
He's got that that body type where he hurts when he hits.
Both Frankie Molo and Hummerdelli are the perfect body shapes
yes.
to get the closest lick you can get on Adam Fanua Blake.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see what Zach Lomax does against Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
I reckon they'll just shut each other down every single time and no one's going to play football.
Okay. So then they go the
Because they're so
edge.
Good defensively.
They go the opposite of both way. Teams. Yeah. Moses Sully then and Rocco Berry.
Yeah,
that's the matchup.
That's strong.
We'll see how that goes. All right. The second game is Parramatta Eels versus the Dolphins, 8 o'clock. This one is up in Darwin, mate. So this is the game that Parramatta love taking to Darwin.
Yeah, and they get beat all the time. Well, it's awful.
Well, this time they've taken the Dolphins instead of the Cowboys, which is a plus. Because the Dolphins got a whole heap of injuries. Kalma Tuilagi drops off the bench in place of Blaise Tuilagi. Like I said, he's going to be playing in the 17 X-Factor role. That's what Brad Arthur said. Mike Acevo, he scored a double New South Wales Cup, but that doesn't matter. He's not back in the team. As for the Dolphins, so Max Plath, mini Josie Flegler, he's back from his suspension. He takes Ray Stonesport, who drops to the bench. Lachlan Hubner, who made his debut last week, he's out. Sean O'Sullivan has been named on the bench for Anthony Milford, who's been suspended. And remember the young little fella, Tri Fuller? He played fullback last year. I believe it was against Parramatta, actually. He replaces Hammer at fullback. So this is a game I think Parramatta can get some payback. Not payback, actually get a good result up in Darwin. They are $1.42 favourites. Dolphins are $2.90 underdogs. The line is 8.5. Willie Mason, where
could
are we
could get going? Ugly.
Yeah, I agree.
Could get ugly. Yeah.
Big win para?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, the system, the culture that the Dolphins have built,
yep.
I don't think it's going to be an absolute hammering because of the weather up there. Humid, just the ball will be fucking like a cake of soap. It's yuck. It's always an awful game up there.
Yep.
Regardless, like if Parramatta's up or they're playing North Queensland or whatever.
BA's always got like 40 bottles of Mount Franklin in front of him.
Overhydrated. He's overhydrated. Yeah. And I think they know it's one of those games where they have to win. You know, Parramatta's a fucking good team, man.
They are.
Get their shit together.
Yep.
I always said it's a fucking top four roster.
If they would be disappointed
They get beat up here, bro. Come on.
They have a good result against Cowboys last week, and if they drop the ball, and you're right, I believe they should win this game comfortably.
Come on, man.
I've gone a –
If it's a full-strength Dolphins, I'm like, I'll be fucking sitting like that.
Yeah, same.
You got the hammer on there. You got, you know, a couple of their OGs in
Jersey
the pack.
Flagler,
the jersey, Farnworth. The jersey's out, Farnworth.
Kafusi.
You got Mark Nichols. Yeah, there's too many players out.
Heaps out.
Then, because I look at the 13, and it's a 17-man game. I know you got – Big Mudders Waltz has been going good. Josh Kerr's been going good. You got Sean O'Sullivan, Ray Stone. It's still a solid fucking team.
Mark Nichols has been good for him.
Yeah, he's been great.
He's solid, eh?
Yeah, I like him. But cracking bloke too.
Eels -8.5. I have this game just over 13 plus. I feel like it could be like the 14 to 18 range for Parramatta. Yeah,
it could go really ugly or it could be like a fucking real yuck game.
Yeah.
Tight.
Well, I reckon if it's yuck, the Dolphins win.
They could really bring it down to their level.
Yeah.
Nature, so we can't go point for point with these pricks, or we can make it yuck and just defend our asses.
They
off.
Probably
and
that's want
what,
it to be
and that's
like
what they got.
Goes.
Max Plath tackles fucking anything. You and Aiken as well, like Nichols, Marshall King. They're still all right, but they should not be anywhere near Parramatta.
Yeah, if Parra legit,
They're legit. They should fucking beat them 13 plus.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. Parramatta Eels -8.5 for me. Dylan Brown anytime at $4. I reckon he gets his running game going in this game. This is an opportunity for him to get into his.
And I think Parramatta's played up there enough now to go, all right, we know what the conditions are going to be. Let's play to the conditions. No one's going to be acclimated to any of the conditions ever. It's Darwin.
But it should be advantage para.
Yes, mentally.
Kicking off Super Saturday, Penrith Panthers versus West Tigers, 3 p.m. at Bathurst. Remember, this is the game, torrential rain last year. The Panthers took this West Tigers, and Tigers got the job done. still no Nathan Cleary, mate. That means Brad Schneider is wearing the 7. Jerome Luai has had a bit of a battling knee injury. And Scotty Sorensen has been selected in the starting lineup. Therefore, Luke Garner moves back to the bench. Lockie Galvin is back for the Tigers after his suspension. Brent Naden has earned a recall with Solomon Fatape dropping out of the side. John Bateman returns after his HIA along with Samuela Fainu. That means Alex Seyfarth moves to the bench. Justin Matamua is out of the side. And Latu Fainu, who also missed the game through injury, has replaced Jaden Sullivan, who was playing the 14 role. So the Fainu brothers are back. Jake Simpkin also drops off. The Tab have got this. $1.17 Penrith Panthers. $5 West Tigers, the line is 14.5. Do you think Penrith Panthers are going to blow out the West Tigers, mate?
No.
Neither do I.
No, I just don't think so. I think it should be a solid game. It's not going to be a blowout at all.
I think Penrith will
be a real tight game, but Penrith will just out-muscle them and just a bit more quality. I don't mind the Tigers, but their attack looked fucking very wrong last week. And if you do that against Penrith, swallowed up.
If they come out and play well in this game, and they didn't even have to win, but the money that Lachlan Galvin is going to – because they've looked pretty average the last couple of weeks without him within an attack.
If they look sharp again.
Mate, that Parramatta game where he went after the game, if he does that against Panthers, he's going to just be like – you remember we talked earlier in the show about Sticky putting the piece of paper and a pen in front of their management. Benji's going to do that too.
I would be forcing the club to do it. Lock that kid up for 4 years minimum.
See if he does it. Let's see what he does first.
I don't even care if he has a whole 4 year. I just know how hard it is to come out after. Start again. I know how hard it is.
Yep.
To get a good halfback or a 5'8" coming through the system. So when you find one, you lock them up because everyone's going to come at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Penrith.
Penrith, but Tigers +14.5?
No.
Like with the big
I'll take that.
Big start. Yeah. Big head start. I'm with you. I got Tigers +14.5 as well. And I got Junior Tupou on the left wing. With Galvin back, I think they're going to get a lot of footy on that left wing spot. So give me Junior Tupou. $3.10.
Strong, that kid is.
Yeah, Tupou. He's a beast.
He's the one that Greg Bird Jack Bird.
Yeah.
Bang, just threw him off. That's why you got that head knock.
Yeah, I had Junior Tupou for a point in that game against the Dragons.
Fish is back.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, I love it.
Just like I said, I'm expecting a big game out of Adam Fennell Blake. I think it's going to be a huge game for the Fish.
Yeah.
Hey, and you know who then brings that into the game? Opposite
Steph.
Side.
I love Steph. Go at it, kid.
If he's an Origin player,
go mate, at him.
This is the perfect fucking game for him to. Because everyone's going to be watching this
and
game.
Fitch.
Everyone's going to be watching this game now to see what the Fish does. If Stefano.
Yeah, if he can hold his own against those two.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think he can hold his own against anyone.
Yep, so do I. All right, mate, where are we? All gone all the way down. Have I missed it?
Titans.
Gold Coast Titans versus the Manly Seagulls, 5:30 p.m. at Cbus Super Stadium. Jaden Campbell was out with a knee. Therefore, Phil Sammy is back to replace him. We've got Keno Kinney is in the extended squad though, so watch out for that. He's probably more of a fullback than what Phil Sammy is. But David Fifita has been named to start.
So you got that last week as well.
Yep, he was dropped to the bench. Cleese Haas started, so he's been moved back to the bench. As for the Manly, they've got a heap of changes. So there's some it's up and down for Manly. Jason Saab returns, big in.
Ah, good.
He's a straight swap for Jackson Polo on the wing. Ben Trbojevic obviously goes out, which is Ben Trbojevic was really starting to come into his own this season, but we get Gaz back, which is a big in. Josh Alawai is suspended for that hit on Sean Johnson, but we get Matt Lodge back, so another plus. We lose Toff Sipley, who I love, to an MCL injury.
Oh, no.
But the return of Nathan Brown.
Okay.
So it's a seesaw for the Manly team. How do you see this game going?
Big Woodsy's back
and Woodsy's,
on the bench?
Woodsy played on the bench last week as well. He gave you 25 off the pine.
Did he?
Yeah. You probably wouldn't have noticed
No. Sorry, Woodsy.
Respectfully to Woodsy.
Oh, no.
Big Sharon. Big Sharon was punching through the middle for 25.
Ah, yeah.
Oh. Gold Coast Titans are $3.20 underdogs. Manly are $1.36 favourites. Yeah. The line is 9.5. Can Gold Coast win? First question. Or if not, can they keep it close, Mace?
They're eventually going to win, but I just don't think it's going to be this game.
I agree.
You know, Manly's class. They should have won that game last week. Doesn't matter. They got 1 point out of it. I love the inclusion of Ruben Garrick. Very underrated defensive centre.
Yeah.
Sabi, you know, Tommy Talau. Now you're talking a bit of speed out there. Mm. Yeah, when Turbo's creating these half chances, as soon as that's a half chance, Saab scores. I don't care. No one's touching him.
Yeah.
Nobody is touching
him. Think back to round one, Gaz and Jason Saab on that right edge. Yeah, man. Pretty good.
It's dangerous.
But
they
looked a bit rusty. Now they probably might take this game to get going. But, yeah, I like it as well.
What does it take for AJ Brimson to move back to fullback?
I think they're struggling.
Oh, they actually really struggling with the six. Yeah. They have no one to come up and take their spot or like even push and go.
Well,
okay, well, when you got a Kieran Foran at seven,
yeah,
you don't really need an experienced six, right? Otherwise, they just might not have anything.
Well, it's exactly the way we probably view the Roosters, right? Like you put Luke Keary at seven and then you just get a ball runner to play six and get his hands on the ball.
I just think he's a way better fullback.
So do I.
I like him at fullback, man. He's going to cut off – his ability to attack the full field. You just put him on one side and it's like very one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And he wants to run all the time.
Phil Sammy's not a noted fullback either.
So your centers get fuck all ball, hardly any quality ball. So I don't know. They seem all over the shop, that forward packs. Their defensive effort last week was outstanding. And if they can defend like that for the next couple of weeks, they'll end up jagging a win. Not this win.
Do you think they're going to try to hold down on the ruck and see if they can get 10-1 six against again?
That's their plan.
Yeah. They're
going to have to. 12 this week.
Going to have to. That's the way. They're going to have to try to slow down Manly because Manly going to play up-tempo. And with that,
Manly's going to try and blow them off the field. If they get to 14-16-0 like they did against the Warriors, they're like, foot on throat, let's go.
Yep.
That'll come from their leaders.
I've got Manly -9.5 and Tolu Kola, $2.75 for him to just be supporting through the middle and get a piece of meat. Absolute jam. He's one of my favourite bets of the week. The last game on Super Saturday is the Broncos versus Raiders. This should be a fucking doozy. 7:35 p.m. at Suncorp. Kevin Walters is stuck with the same side from last week, so no changes. As for the Raiders, Zach Hoskins is unavailable. He dislocated his shoulder. Atta Mariotta moves in the starting lineup, who did really well filling in for him, actually.
He was good. Pass at the end.
Poking his nose through a number of
could have won himself, big boy. Hey, you're going to regret that at the end of your career.
Yeah, that tries to don't come easy.
You're over the line, son.
Yeah. So, therefore, Simi Sasangi drops off the bench. The Tab have Canberra $2.90 underdogs, though. Broncos $1.42. The line is 8.5. Mace, who wins this game? At Suncorp.
I'm going the Raiders.
Ooh.
Yeah. I like the way they're playing. I'm only going to go on because I still don't see Payne Haas there.
Yep.
And I know that forwards can match. Reynolds? I think they'll turn this into a real fucking just boring as shit game.
They beat him at Suncorp last year.
Yeah, they don't fear anyone. That's what I'm saying. I don't care if it's at Suncorp or if it's at it's fucking at Belmore. They're going to come at you.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so I just think they can hold it down and make it real, real yuck. You know, they'll kick chase on Reece Walsh. They'll try and, you know.
They're going to get into him.
There'll be some little late shots at his head.
They're the sort of team that, like, if you do show any signs of weakness, they'll go after it. And I think for whatever reason, teams just haven't been able to expose Jock Madden yet as well. I think he's
just sliding through games. So he's sliding through.
He's right edge against Ethan Strange in that left edge. I think Hudson Young and that are going to send plenty of traffic at Jock Madden.
No, I agree. Their back five's great, right? But Canberra's got that, you know, they'll ball the shit out of you. They'll kick good. They've got a good kicking game.
I don't know.
I just think, I think they can jag these sort of games, Canberra.
Joseph Tarpany and Papa through the middle.
That's what I'm like.
I'm with
the best.
I like it, mate.
Fletcher Baker, Corey Jensen, you're not scared shitless of them if you're Big Papa and you got Tarpany.
Yeah.
You know, like Huddy Young, Smithies, Mariota. It's like that's a pack.
Good pack.
They got a good pack. And Danny Levi has been playing outstanding.
Yep. Credit to him.
Outstanding.
Yeah. I had my question marks on him at the start of the year, but he's been solid. He's good rotation. They bring on little Tom Starlin at the back end of the games too. He's a firebrand.
Billy Wilder's going to get some traffic at him.
Yep.
And he's been really well. He's been really good, but he's not going to put a hit on Big Papa or Joey Tarpany.
Billy Wilder's is making 40-plus tackles.
Yeah. they're going to get him a lot. So I think they'll try and tie that ruck down. Carrigan, he's just probably one of the best forwards in the world at the moment.
Yeah, easily.
He's their spiritual leader, so I'm pretty sure he's going to get a fair bit of attention too. Every time he runs the wall, they'll want to get three in on him because I know what Ricky Shewitt's like. He's their best player. That's the head on the plate mentality, right?
Yep.
Paddy Carrigan, right? And Reece Walsh will get it. You know, they should be able to handle their back five.
I'm looking forward to seeing young Xavier Willison in this game too. This is a sort of game where like a couple of dogs come off the bench going hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the Raiders +8.5 as well, mate. And I got Matty Timocor anytime, $3.75.
Well, who's he up against?
Selwyn Cobbo.
He's good. What do you think he's going to get? Like a little kick through or?
He might
get him.
I just think fucking Selwyn Cobbo's got a lapse in him every now and again.
Yeah, I just think people sleep on Timoko's strength.
Yeah.
Like Val Holmes did in that trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got him. Out.
Early ball. I like it when they have a scrum, stack four on the left, only have him on the right, and he just – because he can take you in or he can take you out.
He's strong, man.
Very hard to defend if you've got like wide
field. They find him?
Weapon. All right, mate, let's get to Sunday. And I said this at the top of our predictions. I'm on the Canterbury Bulldogs, mate, and they are at home to the Newcastle Knights. 2 p.m. at a core stadium. Blake Taff returns, but he's in the 17 jersey, mate, because Connor Tracy has retained his spot as the fullback.
Yep.
Mudders Curran of the Josh variety shifts back to lock after starting a prop last week, which pushes Jake Turpin into the reserves. Bailey Haywood retains his spot, and Curtis Morin is back from his suspension. Max King is in the reserves, but he's still trying to get back from that hand wrist injury. Adam O'Brien has stuck with the same 17 from last week who went down to the Roosters. The Tab have the Bulldogs $2. This is similar to the first game. This is a coin flip. Bulldogs are $2. Newcastle $1.80 favourites. The line is -1.5. Mace, can your Dogs get some revenge on the Knights from last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, same.
This would be one of those games. I don't think it would be mentioned, but the players who played in that game got beat 66-0 at home.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be in the it's got to be
you remember
in the
those
back.
Ones.
It's got to be in the back of your mind. You know, so we have the team to compete with anyone. It's a matter of getting them back up to that level. You know, it would have been so heartbreaking getting beat by Melbourne in that fashion.
Mm.
Sometimes you'd rather get beat by 50 than that. You know, that one. You know, 6 minutes, and it's just that little bit of an effort thing and body in front. Nah,
you're right. That can have. You can be like, we tried so hard, we did everything right, and we still lost. That can be deflating.
Have an adverse sort of reaction out of that. And I just don't think they're that team.
Either do I.
Not that team anymore. So they're going to be going, you know what, we're going to get Newcastle, a little bit of payback from last year. We're playing good football. They have to keep up with us.
Yeah, I like it. I think a heavy advantage from what it was last year to this year where the back three were really good for the Knights, establishing that quick play of the ball. Now with Carras on the wing, Fox back, Stephen Crichton, Bronson Sherry, Karen out of yardage.
Yeah.
I think it's
going
to be
– you're going all right there.
I think it's Connor Tracy. He's going to run – he's going to have 25 carries for 250.
He's a fullback, man.
He's a Dylan Edwards type.
Yeah, he doesn't stop, man. He doesn't stop. And I think kick out on that left edge, man. He's the best back row in the game.
He's killing it.
Absolutely killing
it. He's equal first Dalium lead board. The two leaders, actually, Kalen Ponga and Kicks going head to head.
So
let's see what the points are like. Mm. Let's see if they're given points because they're just at the top of the leaderboard or you watch a game properly and there are some other guys that should stand out.
Yeah, Kickout's defense has been outstanding, but his attack has been on another level. No one can tackle him.
You know what?
His creation on that left edge is great.
I think he shifted the momentum and the mindset or like things changed in that Cronulla game when he went after it and he was bashing Will Kennedy and they didn't get the result. They started the game really well and I thought they were really hard done by in that game.
Yep.
But they really have been so consistent this year. So I'm going to go the Dogs +1.5. I like Matty Burton pushing back through the middle off the back of kicks. Maybe it's an offload. Maybe it's a show and go to kicks. I think he has some joy. $4.25 is overs.
Who's on that right edge for Newcastle? Right side centre, right four.
Gags,
left,
centre.
Left three.
No, so it would be
right the, three, right three.
The right three. So the right three is Jack Cogger,
he's
Dane Gagai, and Thomas Jenkins.
Okay.
And Dylan Lucas, I believe, is playing there. Have a look at the lineup. Is Dylan Lucas? Frizz isn't back yet.
No.
I think it's Dylan Lucas, yeah.
He goes good, Dylan Lucas.
Yeah.
Dylan Lucas, but he doesn't like if Frizzell was playing that game, he's nullifying kicks.
He's
that would be his only job.
Yeah.
But kick out is going to be bit early ball out of the way.
All right, the last game, mate. Cronulla Sharks versus North Queensland Cowboys, 4:05 p.m. at PointsBet Stadium. Samuel Stone Street will make his debut. Congrats, mate, for Sione Katoa. He gets a week for that hit on Cam Murray.
What?
Yes, you know that one where he wedged in on Cam Murray. Cam Murray didn't come back on the field. Yeah. I actually didn't think it was that bad.
Fuck.
So, yeah, I only got a couple of looks at it, but he's suspended for a week.
Murray needs to watch himself, man. If that's going to – fuck.
Yeah, it didn't look like there was much in it.
I mean, when you start getting hit like that, remember Boyd Cordner? Mm. You know, he's just diving on a ball and HIA – You know what I mean?
It'll be interesting to see how.
This is not his first, it's about his 10th.
Yeah, well, it's the nature of, like, if you fucking make 45, 50 tackles a game.
I know, I'm just saying, he's one of our best players and best humans playing the game. So if he needs a fucking a long rest, give it to him.
Well, they've got the bye, so there we go. Oh, no, beautiful. Braden Hamanuele is back on deck after returning from New South Wales Cup last week, which moves Taku Hautapua back to the extended bench. And Braden Hamanuele will play his 100th game. Shout out to Braden.
Nice.
As for the Cowboys, Murray Taulagi is unavailable after suffering a hamstring injury. Semi Velame will be replacing him. Mace, I'll tell you mine to begin with. And you know how high I am on the Cowboys. Mm. I'm going the Sharks -3.5, and I'm going Teague Wilton anytime because I am disappointed with the Cowboys this year. I'm waiting for them to put in a 80-minute performance. Fucking all over. And I've been disappointed from them. So I'm going to go team that's been more consistent in the Where's Cronulla Sharks. And I'm locking in Nico Hines for 3 points nice and early.
Sharks, is it Shark Park?
Shark Park, 4 p.m., Sunday afternoon.
Yuck.
All right, the Tab have the Sharks at $1.65 favourites.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it'll be a good game. $2.25, and the line is +3.5.
We're going with the Cowboys.
Nice.
No, I have to. Yeah, because it's a coin flip.
It is coin flip.
Katoa, I think missing Katoa is massive. Yep. Coming out of play twos, play threes. He's a great finisher. Holds a lot of energy. Him, Mulatalo, and Kennedy, probably one of the best back threes in the game. Ramian, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I get it. They're going to be very hard to beat. But I think Cowboys won't be able to pull this out. That's the only team that could pull this out on a Sunday arvo. They could just turn one on.
I wouldn't be surprised if either team blow each other out. So I could see a big Cowboys win, but I could also see a big Sharks win.
It can still be like
they've both got in them.
What mentality the Cowboys have every week? Is it like fuck, boys, we need to complete, or it's just like let's just play to our skill set and just catch the fucking ball and complete?
That's what Sharks
I just don't think that will be driven, and I don't think it should be driven. Look, it shouldn't be percentages, you know what I mean? Like, we need to complete at 85%. Mm. Just catch the ball and don't make mistakes.
Don't make stupid errors.
Yeah, that's it. And then everything will equal out. We can't have our middles making fucking too many tackles, like 6 or 7 sets of 6 extra. It takes his gas out, man. As I said, like with Tal Malolo there and McLean and Ruben Cotter, like it fucking takes it out of them.
I've got a couple of questions. How long we got, Luke? Do you reckon we've got 5 minutes or no? I'll save it for next one. So, boys, the YouTube questions that I had were around the Cowboys. It's from Daniel Webb and it's from Woofy Thorable. Boys, I'll address the Cowboys and we could have more information based off how this game goes. I like this question. It's about out of sight, out of mind for the Cowboys and they don't get scrutinized as much as other teams. So we'll address that at the review, but we want everyone to remember, what are you really gambling with? And for free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Mace, enjoy your weekend. Round 7, some big news. Looking forward to review on Monday.